Our Old Testament lesson comes from the prophet Isaiah, the 64th chapter, verses 1 to 9. And it says, "Oh, that you would rend heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No eye has seen a God besides you, who acts for those who wait for him. You meet him who joyfully works righteousness, those who remember you in your ways. Behold, you were angry and we sinned. In our sins we have been a long time, and shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have made us melt in the hands of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please look. We are all your people." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 13th chapter, verses 24 to 37. Please rise if you're able. The good news according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Jesus descending on clouds, surrounded by angels, gathering the saints from every corner of heaven and earth. That's exciting to think about. But it's also so far beyond what we've ever experienced. Frankly, it's hard to believe it'll ever happen. Hard to believe, even though every week when we recite one of the historic creeds of the church, we always say, we believe Jesus will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. That's what we say. But it's hard to grasp. Hard to grasp, but important to understand. What is it about the end times, about the return of Jesus, that we need to understand? Well, for one thing, we need to understand where our information is coming from. the Bible is the authoritative source, but a lot of us get our information from the popular Left Behind series of books and movies. The last movie came out 4 or 5 years ago, and here's what their website says. The most important event in the history of mankind is happening right now. In the blink of an eye, the biblical rapture strikes the world. Millions of people disappear without a trace. All that remains are their clothes and belongings, and in an instant, terror and chaos spread around the world. Gridlock, riots, and looting overrun the cities. There is no one to help. The entire planet is plunged into darkness. That's a great premise for an action movie. But is it true? The Left Behind series dramatizes a particular interpretation of Scripture. This interpretation, this particular understanding, is called pre-tribulation millennialism. And it assumes a series of events. First, someday all true believers in Jesus Christ will be instantly raptured or taken up into heaven simultaneously. Then the second event, immediately following, will be 7 years of terrible tribulation, violence, and destruction on the earth. And then third, finally, Jesus himself will return to rapture those who've changed their mind about him and now believe. But in the gospel accounts of the end times, like the one we just read in Mark 13, the rapture occurs just once when Jesus actually returns. And that marks the end of the age when Jesus judges the living and the dead. There's no additional 7 years and a second rapture. That's not quite as elaborate as the Left Behind theory, and probably doesn't lend itself as well to a movie script. But it's biblical. The Left Behind interpretation of the end times first appeared in the 1830s, proposed by a man named John Nelson Darby. But it wasn't widely accepted until the last half of the 20th century, with the publication of a book called The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey in 1970. Then came the Left Behind series by Jerry Jenkins and Tim LaHaye in the 1990s. Left Behind theology has become wildly popular in some segments of Christendom, but decidedly unpopular among most biblical scholars and theologians. Despite what the Left Behind movies portray, most scholars and theologians would argue that the rapture portrayed in the movie is clearly not the biblical rapture. And even that compelling promotional line about the most important event in the history of mankind, as important as the return of Christ is, most theologians would argue that it is not the most important event in the history of mankind. I'll explain in a minute. And those who promote the idea that the return of Christ is the apex of history, they tend to link the return of Jesus to events in the news. They constantly analyze geopolitical happenings, especially news involving Israel. It's all part of an effort to forecast the end of the world. And that's a waste of time. Jesus himself says so right here in Mark 13:32. Nobody will know in advance when Jesus returns. We need to be prepared, but we're still going to be surprised. So if we're never going to know the day or the hour, what should we know? What's important to know about the end times and the return of Jesus? It's important to know that even though the return of Jesus marks the conclusion of God's work on earth, the culminating event, the most important event in the history of mankind, has already happened. The crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus is the most important event in human history. Here's why. In Genesis 3:15, after Satan had tempted Adam and Eve and sin had entered the world, God proclaimed to Satan that a descendant of Eve's will crush Satan's head, and Satan would bruise his heel. That was the first prophecy of the Messiah, the Christ to come. And so in the crucifixion and resurrection, that prophecy was fulfilled. Jesus crushed the head of Satan. He destroyed the power of Satan to destroy you, because you who seek forgiveness are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb of God, who takes away your guilt. And now, as you continue to struggle with sin and discouragement in life, you can confess your sin and receive forgiveness. You seek assurance in your baptism, knowing that you belong to Christ. In communion, you can taste and touch God's forgiveness and His encouragement in His body and blood. Therefore, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. We're reconciled to God, at peace with God, trusting God, because God is forgiving us. Read 2 Corinthians 5. That means that God will help you in every trouble. You can cast all your cares upon Him, knowing that He will always care for you. He'll be your high rock, your shelter in every trouble as you call upon Him. All of that has come about because of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, the most important event in the history of mankind. But the story didn't end with the crucifixion and resurrection. Take a look at our gospel lesson, Mark 13, verse 24. It says, "But in those days, after that tribulation," what tribulation? The tribulation Jesus was referring to there was the destruction of Jerusalem. He just finished describing the coming destruction of Jerusalem for His disciples. You can read it in the first part of Mark 13. Jesus spoke those words just a few days before He was crucified. He prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem, which happened in the year 70 AD, only 40 years later. And according to precise accounts kept by the Jewish historian Josephus, it happened exactly the way Jesus described it, down to the smallest detail. Families fighting within their ranks inside the city of Jerusalem as the Romans gathered outside and laid siege to the city. The agony of starvation, the description of the temple at the hands of the Romans. Jesus described and prophesied everything in shocking detail. And in the next breath, Jesus switched gears and began telling them about a completely separate event in the future. His return to earth on clouds, descending with great power and glory. Undoubtedly, it was more than His disciples could possibly believe. It's hard for us to believe. But then again, His description of the horrors of the destruction of Jerusalem, that was very difficult to believe, but it happened just the way He described it just 40 years later. There's every reason for us to believe that his description of his return to earth will turn out to be just as accurate, just as true to the details, as his description of the destruction of Jerusalem. It's going to happen. Jesus will return as he describes it. That's important for you to know. And for you, Jesus returning is fantastic news because you belong to him. You've been marked as his in your baptisms. You've been fed with forgiveness at his table. He hears your prayers. He will never leave you or forsake you. He's forgiven you. And because you belong to Christ, his return is not something to fear. It's something to look forward to. The day Christ returns will be a day of relief and joy and celebration. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love and compassion toward us, your people. Lord, help us to look forward to your return with great anticipation, wondering, waiting, but not afraid. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.